Off the Ball Breakfast.
What is it, late in the morning for you? Is it a long morning so far?
I'm just not sure.
Owen loves the game.
About all of it.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 29 of the Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week, and the first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second half is exclusively for members, so be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. This week, for members, we will focus on Royal Ascot, which kicks off next Tuesday. So subscribe now. Loads of analysis of all the races at Royal Ascot. Such a great meeting every year. A lot of Irish interest as well in it. Johnny, how are you getting on?
Good, JD. All good. Got a bit of wet weather going into the weekend. I'm racing in Mallow on Friday. And yeah, looking forward to Royal Ascot.
So on Wednesday evening, RT broadcast the state an Investigates programme about the horse industry. And I was expecting this, Johnny, to be about horse racing, but this is more about where horses go. Some of them thoroughbreds. And there were some shocking things we discovered in the documentary. Some horses, it is fair to say, are exported to Europe for the food chain, because we're in the EU. It is accepted practice in some European countries to eat horse meat. But all Irish thoroughbreds are meant to have a microchip. Only vets can administer them. And because so many thoroughbreds are supplied with medications, it's dangerous for them to enter the food chain from a health perspective. So what can happen is criminals can illegally change the microchips. We also witnessed some shocking treatment of horses at Ireland's only equine abattoir, Shannonside Foods, that is in Strathfinn in County Kildare. So at a lairage building, which was used before the licence building, where the Department of Agriculture officials would check the horse's identity, covert cameras showed false identification microchips being inserted into horses and horses being treated in a cruel manner. We also had in the documentary some activity of horse dealers exporting horses to the continent. And the HRI and Department of Agriculture reacted to the documentary. The HRI statement reads, "The board, management and staff of Horse Racing Ireland are deeply shocked and appalled by the content of RT Investigates, a broadcast on RT1. The criminal behaviour depicted in the documentary is disgusting. It's not the experience of the vast majority of the 30,000 people who make their livelihood in the horse racing and breeding industry in Ireland. HRI has zero tolerance for mistreatment of horses in any circumstance, and criminal and regulatory sanction must be imposed on anyone found to have behaved in an illegal way towards horses. Equine safety and care is the HRI's top priority. The HRI this year will invest $16 million in welfare and integrity services." And I'll add some of the points of the Department of Agriculture statement. "The welfare of horses is protected by legislation placing responsibility on owners and those of animals in their possession or under their control to ensure the animal's welfare. This legislation also ensures the appropriate enforcement action is taken by the relevant competent authority where breaches or shortcomings are identified. It is department policy to investigate all allegations of illegal or criminal behaviour and prepare files for prosecution where appropriate." To RT, Shannonside Foods Limited said it rejected the claims made in the Investigates report. It said it takes its legal responsibility seriously and operated in compliance with its licence. "We've got a police force, we've got a legal system here, Johnny. One would expect they might act on this evidence. We wouldn't want to prejudice that, but the evidence from the documentary is clear to what happened at that premises, and it is shocking and distressing."
Yeah, like, so distressing. You know, I find myself actually kind of watching less TV, watching, you know, I'm listening more to the radio now and maybe reading more, and don't watch that much TV, but this was something obviously that I was sitting down to watch, watched with my girlfriend, who wouldn't have a background in horses, but would do a lot of work in terms of environmental issues and stuff like that, and was taking a keen interest in it and loves horses. As it came to show the footage from the abattoir, I physically felt sick, like absolutely sick, because I have to acknowledge that I've been involved in ownership of horses. And as much as you say, JD, like, it looked more, horses, thoroughbred horses that race are on the periphery of that kind of conversation last night. It's mainly other horses, but they are part of the story. And for a horse to end up in a situation in that abattoir, the Shannonside situation, for me, made me very, very sad. And I had to look at myself and say, as an owner, the last couple of horses I've been involved in one of them, she raced, I think, a couple of times for us. She had an injury, and she's since bred a foal who was born the other day. The one prior to that was rehomed, went to a lady in England, and he's been loving life the last 4 years. But of all the horses I've been involved in, could I say where they've ended up? And did I really care as to what happened to them once they were passed on? And I had to look at myself in the mirror last night and say, as an owner, am I? I can't say this is terrible, all this is happening. But like, I didn't necessarily look into the intricacies of what happened to any horse I was involved in. So I have to say that. Horse Racing Ireland said, for me, this was the most interesting line in terms of the racing perspective of this, in terms of Horse Racing Ireland and horses being put down. It said, the industry makes every effort to keep our horses well and treat them promptly when they are unwell. However, the industry does commit to preventing further suffering through the judicious use of euthanasia. The decision to euthanize a horse should always be based on assessment under veterinary guidance of the horse now and an honest appraisal of its future circumstances. And this for me is what's notable. HRI supports euthanizing of horses in a humane, ethical and appropriate manner in situations only where there is a high risk quality of life or diminished circumstances for a horse. Now, I was looking at that at the time, like that's very, very vague. Diminished circumstances could mean a lot of things. And it's almost, for me, it's a tacit acknowledgement from Horse Racing Ireland that sometimes horses will be euthanized. And it's not for me to say that one shouldn't eat horse meat. It's not our culture, but it's a culture in Italy, as was shown in the documentary and other parts, that you can eat horse meat. But as we have to confront this in racing and say, okay, we do have a situation in Ireland where horses are euthanized, and we can certainly argue the point on that, and we can argue the point in the meat industry, but the footage in the last 15 minutes, JD, of how those horses were treated in Shannonside was absolutely despicable. And how can we tell who the animals are here? The horses, the poor horses who have all in their power, they can basically kill us with one kick. None of them was lashing back. None of the horse was doing anything, even though those horses were going to meet a certain death. You know, they were basically thrown on the ground in a situation of real fright and pain. And maybe part of them did know that something was going to go on here. And then they were basically killed. And what we saw in that documentary was shocking. It was absolutely shocking. And as an industry, the Department of Agriculture have failed because what went on, and, you know, it's pointed out by HRI that there's always a vet. The euthanized takes place once a week in the abattoir. It opens one day a week, and vets are present at all times in the abattoir.
In a certain building, but not in another building.
But not in another building. This was a massive failure because the way that the footage was shown and the behaviour of the people involved, it's very, very hard to know that somebody didn't. I mean, there's no accountability for what went on there. And the Department of Agriculture coming out this morning, you know, as I was saying this morning, it's like Jeff Buckley, cops at the scene of a crime, useless. The horses are dead now. And I will say to RTE, they've done a very good job here. Public service broadcasting is important. Like, if we didn't have the money to pay for public service broadcasting, this requires an awful lot of effort, an awful lot of money for an investigation like this. Some of it I wouldn't necessarily agree with. You know, there was figures bandied about how much prize money was won for owners. Like, horses cost owners an awful lot of money. Let's be honest here. You lose an awful lot of money when you own a horse, but that does not preclude you from looking after the horse. And as an owner, you must take responsibility for what happens to your horse when you let it go. It is fair to say that the horse racing itself is on the periphery of the behaviour of what we saw in the documentary, because it's mainly other horses, but we're not removed from it, we're not absolved from it. And I hope as an industry we look hard and we look at ourselves and say, what are we looking after horses after their careers are over? Not all horses can be rehomed. I would have liked if the documentary had interviewed Susie Barkley. She's up in the north and she's rehoming horses, sending them mainly to Britain and doing a lovely, lovely job. It's not possible for all horses to go that way. And I would have liked a bit more balance on it, because most people in racing absolutely love horses and look after them really well. But I was shocked and appalled by what I saw last night. Yeah, to be honest, a lot of it I didn't know.
That is fair. And I think that, for example, Honeysuckle is now giving birth to foals. That was a champion hurdle winner at Cheltenham. Albion Photo, who won the Gold Cup, is a horse who's gone off show jumping. Mm. A lot of these horses are so well maintained, and there's so much love given to them. People wouldn't work for nothing, like literally buttons every day, all hours,
exactly,
without the love of the horses. There are a few things out of this, though, and we got a Horse Racing Ireland document that says there's approximately 40,000 thoroughbred horses in Ireland. 1,300 of them are sent to the abattoir each year. I can't really understand what is the need or the requirement or justification for an equine abattoir in this country. We don't have a culture of eating horse meat. I don't understand the reason for any kind of business to have an equine abattoir in Ireland, and especially given what we've seen. Because for me, what does the horse in Ireland, from a horse racing perspective, symbolise? It symbolises heritage, part of our culture, something we're very good at, something that we always hear that it's over a 2 billion industry, employs 30,000 people. So therefore, if you're bought into that, if you're bought into that story about the horse being the symbol of our Irish culture and heritage, a bit like hurling in a different way, how can you be sending horses that were thoroughbreds to an abattoir in this country? I don't think that is something that really sits well with me anymore.
Yeah, there was a point made in the documentary, and I apologise now, I can't remember who said it. Was he a vet in England? He made a very good point. If an animal lives a good life and he dies in a humane manner and doesn't know that it's happening, and which is effectively what our meat industry should be, where basically animals are reared, they have a good life, and if you die humanely, that's not a terrible scenario for me. It's because as long as there's not suffering and all of that, and horses who are in the equine game generally have a very good life. But I'm a bit like you, JD, to be honest. After watching that documentary, when we clearly as an industry didn't give a damn what was happening in that abattoir, because if somebody knew what was happening, and just people, there are too many people in this industry who didn't care what happened to horses that were euthanized. They just simply didn't care, because otherwise you wouldn't be getting away with the behavior that we saw on this documentary last night. So we have to confront this as an industry, and I've said this before, we have to be honest, and at least Horse Racing Ireland has come up with a figure. These horses are killed because they're not good enough, or they have to be put down, and this is part of our industry, and we have to be honest. Either we get out of this practice of having an abattoir in this country, and I would love that place to be, I would love to see that gone, but as an industry we need to talk about this, because either we look after horses after they're retired, we rehome them, or we rewild them, we do something, or we confront this and say this is fine. Because I'm like you, I will never ever be involved in a horse again without being fully sure what happens to him or her after I'm paying the bills, because I was horrified by it.
Okay. Anything else to say on this?
I'd just like to reiterate, I'd like the industry to talk about this, because there will be different views. There were three trainers who were named as well, and two gave kind of responses. One didn't, which I was disappointed in, because you have to confront this issue. You have to confront it. If a horse, as HRI said, if it's diminishing circumstances, if you think the best thing is for this horse to be humanely destroyed, that's fine, and confront that. And if the horse meat can go to another country, we'll talk about that. But we as an industry need to confront this, because we're massively, massively reliant on government support here, and we can't bank on that forever.
Yeah, I think that it is important not to bundle it all together. And there's a danger that people will be outraged, justifiably so, and then we'll just bundle, oh, it's just horse racing, they don't care, this is what happens to them, they're greedy, they race, they make money, and look at it. And the whole thing is called making a killing.
And racing people, let's be frank on this, racing people are not benefiting from, we saw in the documentary the people who are benefiting from this horrible, horrible practice. It's not racing, it's not trainers, it's not owners. Owners are paying extortionate bills to keep horses in training. So it's not that racing is benefiting from this at all. It's just maybe a lack of kind of care and regard for what happens afterwards, because the horse is getting too problematic or too expensive to keep.
And once out of sight, out of mind, and then these things happen.
Exactly. It's like the meat industry, JD. It's like we eat every day of the week, we eat meat, and we don't really think about where it comes from to a large extent. It's out of sight, out of mind. And this was brilliant journalism in the sense of confronting this issue. And racing, as I say, racing's on the periphery of it, but it's not removed from it.
Okay, we're going to move away from this part of the conversation, and obviously a lot more to discuss around this issue that's emerged from the RT Investigates documentary. So we're going to move on to the next part of our discussion here on the Racing Pod. Myself and Johnny Ward, John Duggan here with you. Just to let you know, I suppose, if you didn't know this very sad story from the week, that Jonathan Neeson, who was a presenter on Racing TV in the UK, a lot of people, Irish people, would know him for his wit and his humour and his presenting style and his knowledge, passed away at the age of 72. So may he rest in peace, Jonathan. And Yeah, I don't know if you knew him, Johnny. I only would have like met him in passing and chat him and that kind of thing. But a huge amount of reaction to it. And I suppose it just says to me that there's always room. And I think racing was so popular for so many years because of John McCrerick, Derek Thompson, John Frankham on your screens, that the characters are important. And Jonathan seemed to be very much one of those.
Oh, Jesus. Like, yeah, when I get into racing, I mean, it was like to watch The Morning Line and John Frankham and these kind of exotic characters, because I wasn't into racing up until about 2003. And then when you saw these characters in The Morning Line, McCrerick, Ted Walsh, like it was really part of the characters were on TV, a lot of them. And I didn't actually know Jonathan. I'd say we would have sort of vaguely crossed paths in the Cheltenham press room. But like, I do work for Racing TV as well. I had no idea he was sick. I was really, really taken aback by it. He had a lovely manner on the TV, quite self-deprecating at times. And I think it's important when you're doing this job to admit that a lot of the time you certainly don't know everything. And a lot of the time you don't know that much, and you're finding out along the way as well. And he was kind of like that, very easy to listen to, and really sympathies. I send out my condolences to all his family and to everyone in Racing TV as well. He's a very, very popular guy. John Coleman, who would have been a veteran journalist, he passed away in the last couple of weeks as well. And sadly, these older people who are involved in racing, as they got older, the game has changed a lot. It's hard to have work in racing now in the media. And very, very sad to see him pass.
Okay, just let's look briefly before we talk about Royal Ascot with our members on the weekend's card. So Sandown on Saturday, you got the Skerry Stakes, and you got that one is interesting. You have Flora of Bermuda, A Day in Devon, a couple of horses at the top of the market. Anything you liked at Sandown on Saturday? The handicap as well, they're the TalkSport handicap.
We've a couple of interesting races. That 205 that you mentioned, just down at the bottom, JD, keep an eye out for Great Blasket. One of my favourite parts of the world, Great Blasket, the Great Blasket Islands. This horse was trained in Ireland, travels very, very well in his races, and as much as he's kind of creeping into a good handicap here, I still think he's well handicapped. Luke Morris riding him, travels strongly in his races. He's going to be very interesting. Just looking at the prices here, he's going to be double figures anyway in the 240 then. The Skerry Stakes, this is an interesting contest as well. A Day in Devon's going to be a short price. I'm quite interested in Night Eyes here. She's a filly by Night of Thunder, very, very progressive as well, and she's up to a mark of 90, so demands a bit more, but she's young, she's progressive, and she's interesting as well in Sandown.
Flora of Bermuda in that race has to start better. She's not the best starter out of the stalls, but she was second in a Group 2 last year. She does have ability. If she gets out of the stalls and gets a bit more forward, I think she's got an each-way chance in the Skerry Stakes. Then York, 3 o'clock on Saturday, the Grand Cup Stakes. Klondike ran well to be fourth on reappearance. Ryan Moore, I believe, rides this one, so always one to watch out for. Real Dream has won over the distance, but disappointed in the Ebor last year. Relentless Voyager comes into this after a win at Epsom over 12 furlongs, but Klondike maybe for me.
Yeah, it's Relentless Voyager mentioned for me. It's a small enough field for what should be, you know, a decent staying contest with a view to the Ebor down the line. But Relentless Voyager, son of Ulysses, is a horse we'll mention further in the a stallion we'll mention further in the second half of the show. He's progressing nicely, and it's interesting to see this trip how that'll. I actually think the way he shapes, he's going to improve over the mile and six. Klondike, obviously, I'd respect. Second run after a wind-up, but tricky little contest, and it's going to be tactical as well.
And the sprint handicap on Saturday at York's about 3:35. I like Ziggy's Condor in this, just beaten on reappearance over 7 furlongs at this course. Must enter calculations for me. Woodhay Wonder has won her last 4 starts. Serried ranks owned by the King. Couldn't improve from his last run. Elmond Jed got Chris Hayes going over there to ride, so good races.
Yeah. Lovely to see Elmond Jed and Chris Hayes. And you mentioned that race the last day at York. This horse had only run a couple of times as a 2-year-old. Came into the handicap. Ziggy's Condor was second at 12-1. Elmond Jed was sent off 6-4. And you'd sort of look at the race. He came up the near side. He never really looked like he was going to win. Strong at the finish, though. And if he comes on a bit from the run, you're looking at that and thinking he's by Blue Point, who's a sire of the moment. And even though there's a lot of pace in his pedigree, he looks like he might want stepping up in trip. I'm very interested to come back to 6 furlongs. And I still like him. Willie Haggis, master trainer. The fact that he was so well back the last day suggests that he's definitely ahead of this mark. And more to come from him, I think.
McMahon and Double J, I'm going for Ziggy's Condor, the 3:35 York Saturday. What are you going for?
I'm going with Elmond Jed, actually. Yeah. So there we go.
Headlocks all round.
Yeah, headlocks all round. Don Patrick was so tough. I actually couldn't pick Anthony in Ireland. Brief luck. It's quite enough weekend in Ireland. But yeah, good racing in Britain. And I'll go with Chris Hayes. Great to see Chris going over and enjoying success in England.
This is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look ahead to the first 3 days of Royal Ascot, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from this week's action.